चैप्टर थ्री टेक्स्ट 13 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड कर्म योग। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। यज्ञ शिष्टासीन संतो उच्यन्ते सर्वकिल विषयी भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापा ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात्। ट्रांसलेशन। द डिवोटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड आर रिलीज्ड फ्रॉम ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ सिंस बिकॉज दे ईट फूड विच इज ऑफर्ड फर्स्ट फॉर सैक्रिफाइस। अदर्स हू प्रिपेयर फूड फॉर पर्सनल सेंस एंजॉयमेंट वेरीली ईट ओनली सिन। पर्पट। द डिवोटीज ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas saivaradayeshu vilokayanti. The santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda or Mukunda or Krishna, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajñas in different modes of devotional service, such as shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, etc. And these performances of yajñas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves but also the eaters of all kinds of sin. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world. He brings out this understanding in this particular verse that before we eat food, that food must be first offered to the Supreme Lord. Now in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse which says that tadvag visargo janataga viplavo, describing the transcendental literatures which create a revolution in a misdirected civilization, referring to the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. These are literatures which bring about a revolution. Viplava literally means a boat on the waters is toppled upside down. That is viplava. So that is what these literatures do when it is presented in the proper disciplic succession, as Srila Prabhupada is doing here. Revolutionary implications in life when you understand what Prabhupada is giving. For example, today's verse which you are taking here regarding prasad. So generally, in this world, or in India specifically, before coming in contact with devotees, people generally feel that prasadam means that which you get at the end of some ceremony. Or more specifically, in South India, you'll get some coconut, broken coconut, and some bananas, and that is prasad. Or if you go to North India, some pedas, I think. Pedas are the most popular kind of prasad. So different parts of India, The concept of prasad is different. As soon as you tell the word prasad, a picture comes to the mind. Oh, it should look like this. Or it should taste like this. And almost always, the quantity is always less. Prasad means. But when you come in the association of devotees, prasad also gets certain adjectives. Lunch prasad, dinner prasad, breakfast prasad, which is unheard of before coming in contact with devotees. Lunch prasad, how is it possible? Any person, I'm sure, when he first attends a Hare Krishna program, devotees say, please take prasad and go. And we are ready to get a palm full. But then a plate is offered. So right from the simplest things like prasad, which is not so simple actually, to big philosophical concepts, it's all very revolutionary. Completely changes our concepts of what is religion all about, what life is all about, what the world is all about. There's a complete change in our ideology. So Prabhupada is here presenting the revolutionary concept, not just that it is good to get lots of prasad, but also if you eat anything apart from prasad, you are only eating handfuls of sins. Now this will unsettle any person in the outside world. How is it? I'm a righteous man. I'm not harming anybody. And you're telling, whatever I eat, I'm eating sin. And if you're not cooking for Krishna, you're only cooking to increase your sinful reactions. How is it possible? It is very, very hard to understand and hard to digest this particular concept. But that is what the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. It is meant to create a revolution in a misdirected civilization. Viplavam. Completely turn around the way you look at things, the way you look at life itself. Now what Srila Prabhupada is doing, or what the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting, is simple. It is making us aware of what the laws which govern us are. It's opening our eyes to laws, the laws of the world. That's all, nothing new. And revolution is about that, making certain group of people aware about laws which govern them. Take for example the French Revolution. Now the French Revolution, the kings, the monarchs, they exercised their power on their subordinates. But when it came to their own duties and the laws they had to abide by, they forgot it all. They simply collected taxes. So the law they exercised on the people, and the people had to pay money to the government as taxes. But they forgot the laws that govern them. That means the duty of the king is to do welfare to the citizens. So during the French Revolution, people were protesting outside the castle. We want bread, we want bread. And the queen was inside the castle. And she inquired from her servant, what are the people shouting all about? What is their problem? And the servant informed that they are shouting that they want bread to eat. So the queen replied, if they don't have bread, why don't they eat cakes? That means she was completely unaware of what was the condition of the people of France at that particular point of time. So there was a revolution, the French Revolution. So that the monarchy became aware of what are the laws that govern them, what are their duties. They are not independent. It's not that they can do whatever they want and get away with it. No, there are laws that govern them too. And there are so many revolutions in India also. The Brahmanas, for example, they exercised their power on the lower Varnas. They exercised their powers and made them aware of the laws that govern them. But when it came to their own duties, they forgot it all. And then there have been so many revolutions, even in India. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada is making us aware. Because especially in the modern world, what is happening? Mankind, it is forgetting the laws that govern it. For example, the scientists, they are the people who give ideologies to the modern world today. So we are busy trying to understand the laws that govern this material world around us. And that is what science is all about, trying to understand the laws of nature, how matter interacts, what are the forces governing matter, the movement of matter, what are the laws governing matter. So they have formulated the law of gravity, laws of electromagnetism, the laws that govern movements at the subatomic level. And they see that matter follows precise laws. So precise that these laws can be formulated. So any student of science, even by 10th standard, he comes to know certain formulas which govern material world around him. So the laws are so precise that we can formulate them. That is the precision in which matter works. And we are very proud to discover those laws which govern nature. But if matter follows such precise laws, the natural question is, that which moves matter, that is consciousness, aren't there laws to govern the movement of consciousness? For example, we have this pen which is matter. Now if it is lying at this place, it will lie here forever unless there is intervention of consciousness, and then only matter moves. So matter which is inert, if that, its movement and its behavior is governed by precise laws, that which moves matter, that which governs the world, that is consciousness, that is living entities, aren't they governed by precise laws? Isn't it logical to understand this? It is simple common sense. And these laws are the laws of karma. As simple as that. And because we have forgotten these laws of karma, there are so many disturbances in the world around us. We have created so many disturbances in the world around us. Environmental crisis, economic crisis, and so many things. Why? Because we have failed to understand the laws of karma which govern us. So Srila Prabhupada is making us aware that there are laws which are governing you as well. Don't just be caught up trying to understand the laws which govern matter. Understand that you're not independent. You're also governed by laws and by higher authorities. And only when you understand that can you be happy. And that is why in the last sentence of this particular purport, Prabhupada is telling, therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna and full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world. So what follows a revolution is happy people. So that is the goal which Srila Prabhupada is directing us towards. But the problem is, in today's society, and naturally it's for any conditioned soul, the general psychology is to become independent, not to have any laws governing them. Because why we have come to this material world is to become independent enjoyers. We didn't want laws to govern us. So the rebellious souls have come to this material world. Sri Radha Gopinath ki. So naturally, if someone is made aware that there are laws that govern you, that govern every movement of yours, then the natural psychology is fear. And the modern world, the scientists especially, they are creating theories which are more and more in favor of there is no God, there is no controller, and there is no proprietor of the world. We are the topmost people in this world, and we are the controllers, we are the enjoyers, there is no one superior to us. Modern science is geared towards supporting this particular philosophy. So as soon as something contrary to this is presented, that is, there are laws of karma which govern your behavior as well, suddenly there is fear that is created. And modern science is more or less geared towards trying to negate the possibility of such existence of laws at all. In a prestigious university, we tried to organize a program about how there is a God and we are all being governed by that Supreme Lord and we are under His control. But we presented it in a very scientific way. The posters were put up, mails were sent to all students inviting them, and everything was presented in very scientific terminology in the best possible way. But just see how sharp these materialistic scientists are. One of the top professors of the university, he immediately sent a reply to the mail saying that, who has organized this program? This is 180 degrees opposed to modern science. Because however hard we try to present it in a very scientific way, the presentation and the philosophy which Srila Prabhupada is presenting is actually revolutionary and directly opposed to what modern science has to present us. Modern science is more and more geared towards negation of the existence of God. But the presentation of Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam actually makes us aware that actually God exists. And we are governed by superior laws which govern our behavior in this world. So it is opposed naturally. And the materialist scientists are very, very quick in understanding it. But if we understand these laws, it is for our own benefit. It is like a cat is being chased by a dog and the cat is cornered and the dog is about to attack the cat and the cat is seeing the dog, but out of fear it is closing its eyes and it is thinking there is no dog, there is no dog. Does the dog cease to exist? No. The intelligent thing to do is understand that
this is the reality in front of me, how to confront it. So similarly, in the world today, we understand that we are cornered. Modern civilization is cornered. So many crises, so many problems that is haunting us, that we are facing in today's society. And one thing to do is just close our eyes and say that we are still right. There are no superior laws that govern us. But an intelligent thing to do is open our eyes to reality and understand that there could be laws, laws of karma, which we might be violating, which has become the cause of us being in so much trouble. And try to understand what these laws of karma are. And try to rectify our actions. And when we rectify our actions, then we see that our life changes. Now regarding this prasadam, Prabhupada is making a very logical point. Now when we are eating food, how are we eating sin? Now, whether we are vegetarians or non-vegetarians, we have to kill some other living entity to feed our belly. If you are habituated to taking non-vegetarian food, then we are straight away killing an animal, which is very sinful. But even if we are on a vegetarian diet, still we are killing some living entity to survive. So aren't we subjecting ourselves to sins? If there are laws of the state, aren't there laws of karma as well? In the laws of the state, if you kill another person, then you'll be persecuted. So in the universal laws of the Lord, every living entity, whether in plant or animal life, is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And if we kill any living entity, we are subjugated to reactions. As much as if we kill another human being, we'll be subjected to laws of the state. If we kill any living entity, man, animal, or plant, according to universal laws of karma, we'll be subjected to reactions. It is common sense phenomena. So what to do? Whatever you eat, you're increasing your sins because you're eating a living entity after killing it. So Prabhupada is giving a simple understanding of how to get out of this sinful reaction. Offer that food to the Supreme Lord, because everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So everything is meant to be offered to the Supreme Lord. And when we cook, to be offered, when we cook food to be offered to the Supreme Lord and then partake of the prasad, we become free from all the reactions. And that food which is first offered to the Supreme Lord for sacrifice is called prasad. So ideally, everyone should first offer food to the Supreme Lord and then partake of that food. That is called sanctified food. It is called prasad. And anyone can do it at their homes. Just like we have our plates to eat our food, we can have a plate for the Supreme Lord to consume food. So we prepare food for the Supreme Lord, first offer, prepare a nice plate for the Lord, offer it to the Supreme Lord with tulsi leaves. Because without tulsi leaf, the Supreme Lord doesn't accept the food. And after the Supreme Lord accepts that food, then the whole family can partake of the prasad, which is sanctified food that will purify our existence. So Prabhupada is not just presenting the problem.
He is presenting the solution as well. He is not just telling that you are simply eating sin, you are simply eating sin, and the purpose stops there. No. He is giving the complete understanding. Okay, right now you are eating sins. Now how to become free from the sinful reactions? Offer the food to the Supreme Lord. When he accepts the food, then you partake of the prasad. And then you will become happy and you will be free from all kinds of reactions. The complete understanding is given. Not just one-sided solution. Like there was one serial killer. His name was Mr. French. Mr. French, his name was. So he was finally caught. And the way in which he was persecuted was, he was made to sit on an electric chair, and electricity was then was to be passed through electric chair, and then he would be burnt in the electric chair. That is the way he was to be executed. So the time of his execution came. So he was sitting on the chair, and all the media and all the people were assembled. Very infamous personality. So they wanted to write articles about his execution, etc. So all these people had assembled, and just before electricity was switched on to his chair, he looked at the reporters and he exclaimed, "Tomorrow in your newspapers, give the headlines, French fries." And then immediately electricity was passed and he died. Now it is remarkable. Even as he was dying, he was presenting some hilarious statements, and he made them feel that he was still comfortable. This is precisely what the modern civilization is all about, actually. We have defied the laws of nature. The Vedas gives the direction of how human society should behave. We have broken all the behavioral codes. We don't know what the laws of nature are. We have broken the laws of nature. And now we are faced with the reactions. So many reactions coming. Wars, crises, earthquakes, environmental disaster. And still, as we are facing so many reactions, if you go out, the modern civilization, still there is promotion of devices that try to give you some kind of entertainment. Still, if you go in the outside world, if you see the billboards, they present the world as if there is no problem. Things are going on very nicely. You can enjoy life still. The means to enjoy the world is simply increasing day by day. There is technological advancement. There is advancement in the entertainment industry. Earlier there were only few television channels, but now there are hundreds of television channels. So many movie theaters. In fact, you can see movies even in your mobile phones. You can see movies sitting in best buses. You can see movies while standing in the ticket counter trying to take a ticket for the trains. Entertainment is increasing. The world is becoming more and more a place to enjoy more and more. A place where you can become more and more happy. A more and more enjoyable place the world is becoming. That is what is being presented. But if you see the reality, the world seems to be coming to a dead end. Read the reports of people, of the scientists themselves who are working with the environment. We are
we are going to face a big crisis from all fronts. It's a huge crisis. Wars are imminent in the world for so many reasons. So just like this Mr. French, even as he's getting electrified, he presents himself as being a very jovial personality. Even though he's going to be electrified, that is what modern civilization is becoming today. Even as we are getting electrified by our own laws of karma, still the civilization is hell-bent upon presenting the world as a very nice place. But Srila Prabhupada, he presents the world as it is. Don't simply fool yourself and fool others thinking that you are happy in this world, that you are independent in this world. There is no laws governing you. No, there are laws governing you also. Instead of closing your eyes to these laws of karma, if you understand what these laws are and you abide by the laws of nature, you can become happy in this world. So it is not a pessimistic way of looking at the world. It is a realistic way of looking at the world by which you understand how to solve the problems of life. So that is the unique contribution of Srila Prabhupada. He made the world presentable as it is. So now, regarding this prasadam, coming back to the point of prasadam, there could be different motivations of offering food to the Lord. One is what is being presented in this particular verse, that if you don't offer food to the Lord and then consume prasad, you are only eating sins. So in order to become free from sinful reactions, you have to offer food to the Lord first. There is no escape. So this is a reason for which we have to offer food to the Lord. And this is a good enough reason. But a higher reason is a sense of duty. The Lord is providing me everything. So let me, out of love, give something to the Lord. And the highest motivation for offering food to the Lord is motivated by love. So the devotees of the Lord, whenever they see any good article, any good foodstuff, the first thought that comes to their mind is, how nice it will be if Krishna gets this food. That is the highest understanding of why food should be offered to the Lord. And Prabhupada is presenting that highest understanding in this particular purport. That motivated by love, you offer food to the Lord. And this is the highest motivation. It's like a person who is criminal minded, he is being told that you should obey the laws of the state, then you won't be put into jail. But a great patriot who is ready to die for the nation, if he is told, if you carry on with your activities of patriotism, then you won't be put into jail. It is ridiculous. Because it's on a completely different level. So actually, this should be the motivation in which we should offer food to the Lord, motivated by love. And that's how the pure devotees offer food to the Lord or any articles to the Lord. There's a nice story in this connection that there are two brothers in Bengal during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of them was Ramchandra Kaviraj and his brother's name was Govinda Kaviraj. So this Ramchandra Kaviraj was a great devotee of the Lord, and this Govinda Kaviraj was a worshipper of goddess Kali. And both of them were neighbors. So Ramchandra Kaviraj many times tried to tell his brother that actually Krishna is a supreme lord, because that is the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic scriptures, and all other demigods including Kali, Durga, etc. are subordinate to Krishna, and simply by worshipping Krishna all other demigods are satisfied. But somehow Govind Kaviraj couldn't understand what he was trying to convey. So Govind Kaviraj, who was a worshipper of Kali, had a tree that produced very nice flowers. So one day, Govind Kaviraj, he came out of his house and saw in the neighboring compound a nice tree bearing so many nice flowers. So because he was a devotee of the Lord, immediately he thought, let me offer all these flowers to Krishna. And he mentally offered all flowers to Krishna. Because a devotee, if he sees anything nice, he wants to offer it to the Supreme Lord. So after that, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Govind Kaviraj, he took some of these flowers to offer it to Goddess Kali. And when he offered these flowers to Goddess Kali, Goddess Kali appeared in front of him and she told him that I am very happy with you today. So Govind Kaviraj thought, I have been offering you flowers every day. How is it that suddenly today you have become happy? What happened suddenly? So Goddess Kali said that every day you used to simply give me flowers from the tree, but today you are giving me flowers which are offered to the Supreme Lord, my master, who is Krishna. So I am very pleased, because you have given me the Mahaprasad of my Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna. So I am very much pleased with you. So in this way, Govind Kaviraj understood that Krishna is the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he also became a devotee of Krishna. So in this way we see, that is the highest motivation by which we should offer food to the Lord. But nonetheless, to begin with, whatever motivations we have, nonetheless, we have to start offering food to the Supreme Lord. Because as we go on doing it, we'll develop love for the Lord. The process is very simple, but the tulsi leaf is mandatory. Because tulsi is very dear to Krishna. Once Narad Muni visited Dwarka, and then when a great devotee of the Lord comes, then the householder, he offers him to give him anything. So Krishna asked Narad Muni, I'll give you whatever you want. And Narad Muni said, I want to take you with me. I want you, Krishna. So all the queens, they were worried. If Narad Muni takes Krishna, what will happen to us? So they devised a means that they told Narad Muni that we'll keep Krishna on one side and we'll put all our jewels on the other side. So as soon as the weight equals, that we'll get jewels equal in quantity with the weight of Krishna, we'll give all the jewels to you. So Krishna was made to sit on one side and all the jewels are put on the other side. But no matter what was put on the other side, Krishna always remained heavier. All the queens put all their jewels, but still Krishna was heavier than all the jewels. But Rukmini was very intelligent. She took a tulsi leaf and put it on the other side, and immediately Krishna became lighter. This was to show the glory of Tulsi Maharani. So when with a sincere heart, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prechati Tadam Bhakti Upahartam Ashnami Predatmana, that if someone offers me a flower, a fruit, or some water, or a leaf with some devotion, I'll accept it.
Now Krishna doesn't need our flower, doesn't need our fruit, doesn't need our water. Because he owns everything in this world. But when we offer it with love, because it is offered with love, Krishna accepts that love and is happy to accept it. Otherwise, who is Krishna? What is our water? What is our fruit? What is our flower? Nothing. Krishna speaks this verse in the 9th chapter. But in the 11th chapter, when he shows his universal form, then all the sons of Dhritarashtra are rushing into his mouth and some are smashed between his teeth. That is what Krishna can do. He can devour the entire universe. That is his power. But he is simply satisfied with a little water. How amazing. Such a powerful personality. Who could devour the entire army of the battlefield of Kurukshetra? And actually, Arjuna saw that scene. Such a powerful personality. He is simply satisfied with a little water, with a little fruit. Because he is wanting that love with which the devotee is offering that food to him. So this is the beauty of bhakti. And this is the way we can lead a happy life in this world. By partaking of prasad, in this way we can purify our existence and become happy once again. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Sometimes we don't get prasad. Those who are working in office or those who are going outside and they don't have prasad. They used to take food from outside. And I want to know that how we can get, someone is staying outside the home and how we can get prasad. And another thing is in prasad and mahaprasad. In Jagannath Puri, they say that is mahaprasad. What is the difference between prasad, mahaprasad and bhoga? And usually in our home, we used to offer some fruits and this peda as prasad. Please may explain.
What was your first question? So, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, within the Society for Krishna Consciousness, at least in Bombay, we got so many bases now wherein prasad is being provided. And also there are so many devotees who volunteered to prepare prasad and provide tiffin for those devotees who are working in their offices. So you can contact such devotees and see if prasadam can be made available to you as well. That will be ideal. Anyway, we have to eat food to survive. So if prasadam is available, why not partake of the prasad? And Krishna will arrange, he'll make some arrangement if we simply sincerely search for the arrangement. Any part of Bombay, if you're staying, there will be some devotee who is preparing prasad somewhere in the vicinity, who can provide prasad by tiffin. So one can contact the devotee and get the prasad. More details you can get from other devotees. Second question is regarding prasad and mahaprasad. So suppose we have prepared rice in a container. Now we don't take that container and offer it to the Supreme Lord. Because we don't eat in containers. And the Lord is also a person. So just like we eat food in plates, similarly, Krishna also eats food in plate only. So we prepare a plate. How much food to be put in the plate? Prabhupada said, as much food as a 20-year-old. a teenage boy will eat. That much food you have to put in the plate. Because Krishna is a teenager, ever youthful. So that much food we offer in the plate, not the entire container. So that which is offered in the plate, that becomes Mahaprasad. And that which is in the container becomes Prasad. There is a difference between Mahaprasad and Prasad. What is the last question? Jagannath Puri, they offer entire containers. Bhoga means food before it is offered to the Lord. It is called Bhoga. After the food is offered to the Lord, it becomes Prasad. What is the third question? That also can be offered, but everything that is cooked should be offered. And we'll offer Krishna that which Krishna wants. Krishna doesn't want non-vegetarian food. So we won't give non-vegetarian food to Krishna. And we don't give onion and garlic, because these food are in the mode of ignorance. So food that is free from onion and garlic and non-vegetarian substances is offered to the Lord. And when we are preparing food for the Lord, we don't taste the food in between. It becomes contaminated. So we don't contaminate the food by tasting in between. No. First the Lord has to enjoy the food, then only we'll eat it and taste it. So it's very simple to do. Okay? Yeah, you can make that. Do that also. Yes, yes. Any other questions?
Hello, Hare Krishna Babaji. Suppose every day I am taking fruit from my home, always it is after offering the God I am taking that afternoon. Suppose one day if there is no food like the prasadam like that, and if I got a time to have a lunch, take a food from the outside hotels, veg food. So suppose if I afford it during before eating this to the Lord, will it become the prasad or not?
No, ideally we should offer food to the Lord and then only we should accept prasad. But there are always emergency cases. So, we can mentally offer food to the Lord, saying that, my dear Lord, somehow by circumstantial reasons, I am not able to offer food to you. So please accept it in this way. But it should be very rare. It should not become a daily emergency. Okay? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.